The reading will be from Luke 8, verse 4 to 21.
While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear it, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. They hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble heart, with noble and good hearts, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought up into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Now Jesus' mother and brother came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you all here this morning. You should have an outline. We'll pray and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unbelievable goodness. Thank you for the reminders that we could sing to one another this morning. We thank you for people who have the gifts to put truth into words and into songs that is able to strengthen our hearts, capture our thoughts, and we want to thank you that we can gather like this. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that you speak. Thank you that your desire is for us to know you. Lord, we pray that we may have that desire as well, that we may know you, and that you will lead us, and you will instruct us, that you will expose us, Lord, that you will heal us, that you will save us. That's what we pray for this morning again and afresh, and equip us so that we may take this unbelievable message with us wherever we go, so that we may tell the rest of the world as well. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Good. For those who are visiting, we are working our way through Luke's Gospel. We've been going for quite a while, I think. We will keep on going for quite a while. It's good to have you here. This part of Luke is quite interesting because it really revolves all around about expectations. And expectations is a very difficult thing. I don't know if you know your own expectations of your heart. Not that easy to capture, because expectations has got to do with one's heart and what you long for. And in this section, we keep on having it exposed. So I take it just to get nice and political. So hopefully you'll wake up this morning. Land expropriation without compensation. Fascinating thing, isn't it? Where does your heart go? Where does your expectations go? Is it something that excites you? Is it something that causes you to have fear? It's interesting how it's this thing. I think it's the latest thing. I think my perception, last time we had so much excitement about the world changing is when we had our first elections in 94. Things have changed. People were excited. We got a vote. Life is going to get better. And it did to some extent. And it's kind of dwindled down again, and people got freedom of choice. They can vote, they've got political freedom, but not feeling they have economic freedom. And so the latest thing to stir people's expectations is this whole idea of land expropriation without compensation, which has caused some people to get so excited they've actually invaded some farms already. Just on over the hill in Stellenbosch, for those of you who don't know. It causes all sorts of fears. How does this work? Will it make life all that much better? We want it to be. Others are afraid and terrified. I take it that's not even close to the concept of the kingdom of God that was current in Jesus' day. So when somebody mentioned among the Jews the kingdom of God, people would get incredibly excited and desiring a better life. Somebody, God's kingdom is going to come and life is going to change. Nothing's ever going to be the same again. And so people got very excited, and we've been looking at this. We've been looking at the fact that John the Baptist was kind of excited that Jesus was the Messiah, and they're not so excited because he was in jail and Jesus was supposed to come and right all the wrongs of society, take away all the injustices of the world. That was the Messiah's job description. That's what the Old Testament says the Messiah will come and do. He will actually bring about God's kingdom, a good place, a place where people can live and where there's harmony and where God's people will be free from all sorts of pressures and frustrations and pain and suffering. And so we've seen that he said, are you the one that's supposed to come? Because why am I in jail if you are the Messiah? We've seen the Pharisees, they reject Jesus outright. They say, well, you're so lax. He hangs out with people who drink and eats a lot, and he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. We don't want anything to do with you either. And so Jesus is going around, and yet there's this crowd around him. So just go to chapter 8 and verse 4. So while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. So here's an incredible excitement still. The kingdom of God is in vogue. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom all the time. And he is saying, you've got to listen very carefully to what I am talking about. Jesus is trying to say, the kingdom of God is what I'm preaching. So if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 8, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Yet, there's frustration because there seems to be something missing out of this entire story. Something is not quite the way people expect it to be. I take it most people feel like South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, is not quite what they expected it to be. Here he's coming and he's proclaiming this kingdom, and there's something missing. Something doesn't make quite sense. The focus is not quite where we would have hoped it to be. His agenda for reform is not what we had in mind. So something is missing, and Jesus is saying, well, that's absolutely right. In one sense, you are missing it because you cannot understand the kingdom of God unless it is revealed to you. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 9 and 10 of chapter 8 just to give you an idea of what Jesus is on about. His disciples asked him about this parable. He said, the knowledge of the secrets or the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. In our language, mystery means something you can't understand, is it? It's something that's incomprehensible. That's what we tend to understand with the word mystery. In the Bible, the word mystery means it is something you cannot discover for yourself. It is something that needs to be revealed to you. It's understandable, but you cannot do that unless it's been told to you. And Jesus here is putting his finger right slam bang on the heart of why people don't understand what he is talking about. Because the kingdom, in one sense, is all about him. The kingdom at this stage is not about what he's going to do, how he's going to bring around justice and fairness and life. The kingdom is all about him, himself. And unless you come to him, for him, you won't get it. That's what Jesus is driving home in this little section. So despite the fact that there are many, many people coming, Jesus is actually saying, this is actually quite a hard section. Jesus is saying that the rejection of the kingdom of God as I go about proclaiming it is far greater than what you are currently seeing. There's crowds following Jesus from all over the place. And Jesus is saying a very, very hard word. He is saying, actually, there are more people who will reject this kingdom than what you can see now. That's quite discouraging, isn't it? In the one sense. Saying, people will come and I'm talking to them in parables because actually, the funny thing is, I don't want them to hear what I'm saying. I don't want them to have it obvious to them. They really do need to come to me and ask me personally. Come and explain this to us. That's why in verse 9, the disciples, when they're asking, Jesus says, well, to you who have come and asked, to you it's been given, because I'm the one who can only give it to you. The kingdom cannot come unless you come to the king. Unless you come to Jesus Christ himself. And that's really what this whole parable about the soils is really all about. The rejection is greater than what it seems now. So yes, there were people who hear it and they reject it outright. I take it the Pharisees would probably fall into that category within the historical context. But there are crowds of people coming from all over the known world to Jesus. And Jesus says, the unfortunate reality is that not everybody who comes actually will come. Not everyone who seeks in that sense will find. Because they are not seeking me. They are actually seeking their understanding of the kingdom. They are looking for what they are looking for. And that's really what he's describing. I mean, this is a familiar section. You all know this. He's saying that there are different responses. Some people reject it outright when they hear it. Others receive it with joy. And then they wither. Because they would have thought the kingdom should be. Have you ever had that conversation with yourself? I really have hoped, thought that God's kingdom will be. What? There's the danger. Lose the joy of this exciting thing that the world is going to change. Jesus is claiming that he is bringing in God's kingdom and people are hearing him and they're saying, oh, that's very exciting. Then they come and then look at what it says there. Verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. I take it the reality is that almost every single person who hears what we would call good news have expectations of what that good news should be. The one thing that most people did not think would happen is that they will be tested. There will be temptations, trials. When the kingdom of God comes, how could there still be trials? Surely it should go better if I come to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Isn't that what, I mean, you instinctively expect that, don't you? I'm telling you about God's kingdom breaking into this world. The powerful God who made everything, now is redeeming everything. But I did not expect life to be hard. And so they say, well, people fall away. They are coming to Jesus not for him. They are coming to him for what he can give them. And the danger is that they fall away. And I'm sure you've seen that. Over the years, I've seen many people very excited for a time. And then when hardship comes, they turn away from following the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one, or the third soil actually, it's a little bit more tricky, isn't it? It says there, the seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but they go on their way. They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. That's a little bit of a more uncomfortable one, isn't it? You see, again, there's a frustration here. There's a delay between the kingdom and its fullness. Telling you this will happen. You will have worries in God's kingdom. That's not the kind of kingdom that we're looking for. We're not looking for a kingdom that is full of worry as you go along with life. So life is going to carry on, says Jesus in other terms. Life is going to keep on going, and the worries of this life can choke it out of you. The worries just start to weigh a little bit heavier than the good news of the kingdom. I find that one particularly difficult. I don't like to sickle. Do you guys like to sickle? I don't like sickling. I want God to step in and just change everything, change me, get me away from all the temptations and sins and weaknesses that I have, and just set up his kingdom and just make me do everything right. He says, no, this kingdom actually, there are worries. There are also the other side, there are riches available. You're living in a world where you can still get rich. And you can pursue it and you can gain it. And that will become a little bit more important to you than me and the kingdom. Scary stuff, isn't it? Good stuff to be rich, isn't it? He says, watch. Riches can cause you to have the word of God not have its full work so that it will not bring about maturity. Good things of this world. I mean, worries is one thing. Riches is a different thing. That's a good thing. I mean, how many of you aim to be poor? That's not normal. It's not natural to do that. And he says, watch out that in your desire to get a better hold of this life, it won't come in and start to choke. That's a slow process, isn't it? If you read the book of Hebrews, for instance, I take it Hebrews is probably spot on. It talks about drifting. Watch out that you don't drift away from the truth. You've heard it, you're excited about it, it makes an impact, and yet, you know, life happens, you know, and life is busy, and there's a lot of things to do, and keep me going, and you just start to drift into other areas. It's not a massive rejection, it's not a kind of a crisis where you run away, it just loses its impact, seems to be what he's saying. And then he talks about the other one is pleasures. Becomes more, well, we're living in what we would call a hedonistic culture, isn't it? How do you know how hedonistic you are? You know what hedonism is? The love of pleasure. How do you know you're living in a hedonistic culture and that you are excessively hedonistically inclined? One of the questions we tend to ask ourselves is, how are you doing? No, fine. What did you do? No, I went there. As long as you enjoyed it. That's the only way we measure life. Was it enjoyable? Was it good? Was it fun? Not was it true? But was it enjoyable? We use that language. Did you enjoy what you were doing? If you didn't enjoy it, then, you know, then it's not worth doing. Pleasure and the desire for pleasure comes in and it just chokes out the word of God. I'm not less worried about if it's true or right or God glorifying. I'm worried about, is it nice? Is it pleasurable? So was the Bible study fun? Church fun. Dangerous thing, isn't it? Subtle thing. It comes in and it just chokes. It just starts to become, and it just crushes. And it takes away life. And Jesus is saying, well, that's what's going to happen. So there are many now that are following me that will either turn away when life gets hard or will actually just disappear. But there will be those, verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts who hear the word. Now, here's interesting. Look carefully what he says. They hear the word, then they retain the word, and then by, this is the word we don't like, perseverance produces a fully developed crop at the end of time. That's actually what you should put in there. The word there is a very interesting word. It's not just the end crop. It's the crop that comes at the end of time. So it's not how well you start. It is how well you finish. That's what Jesus is talking about. The kingdom of God does not go about how excited and well it starts. It goes on, where do you end? Is it by, I mean, do you like the word perseverance? Does it get you all excited? That you've got to keep on keeping on to keep on. Till when? Well, until the end, it is fully developed. Now, that doesn't sound very excitable. It's not sellable, is it? You can't sell this to somebody. And that's one of the dangers of the gospel today. You sell to people, come to Jesus, and he will make your life better. And he will. Just not the way you think. He does it in a different way. And so here Jesus is in public saying to people, listen here, you need to hear what I am saying. So go flip back to this telling of the story. Verse 8, the end. When he had said this, he called out. He shouted out. I've just told you the story. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. You know how difficult it is to hear? Where are some of the children? You think your parents speak way too much, isn't it? I mean, they may actually speak too much. But once you have children, you'll realize how difficult it is to hear. To hear with understanding. Not to hear what you want to hear. Very difficult thing. And Jesus says, listen. He's shouting out. The first thing you need to do is to listen. Don't interpret. Don't expect. Don't work out anything. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Retain what I'm saying to you. Hang on to it. Like seed that has to go into the ground and has to stay there. And it stays there for a while before it starts to germinate and then starts to grow and then push out and then develop. And by persevering against all the odds, the plant makes it. And he produces a crop. And he says, well, that's what it's going to be like. This kingdom is going to become like that. That's how it's going to happen to you. You are going to grow slow. I hate that. I'm a very impatient person. He says, that's what is required if you are going to be there at the end. Because the judgment is at the end, not at the beginning. That's where everything will be revealed. Will you keep on keeping on? That's how my kingdom will come, as you hear what I'm saying and retain what I'm saying, and then by persevering in it, we'll get there. So if you look at the stories, the next two stories, really, the lamp on the stand and Jesus' mother and brothers, are actually highlighting that last soils issues. Jesus is zooming in on that last bit. How important it is to hear and to retain, to hang on, to value, in other words, what you've just heard, so that it will slowly change you on the inside, so that it will produce a new life. That's really what Jesus is driving home. So if you look at that verse 16, he makes a very general statement. He says, anybody who has a lamp actually puts it on and then they put it in a place where everybody can benefit from that lamp. So that's just a very general statement that Jesus is making. Verse 17 makes it really uncomfortable. Have a look. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So by analogy, Jesus is saying, I have come to shine my light. And I am now a little light that will help you to see what will happen on that last day when every single thing that is hidden will be revealed. See where he's going? Now you have a time to see in my light. Then every single thing that is hidden will be revealed. You now have an opportunity. Verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. How do you now receive me in my light? You need to watch carefully how you receive that. Now, when you read verse 17, you start to understand, do you feel uncomfortable? Every single thing will be revealed. Nothing will be concealed. Every single thought, desire, action will be revealed. That's what Jesus is saying. This is vital to hear that, he says. I'm the light that helps you now to realize that that is going to happen. Now it doesn't happen. I don't now reveal every single thing. I now invite you, in the light of who I am, to hang around me so that you may start to see, because this is coming. That's what's going to happen. Therefore, he says, listen carefully. Whoever has will be given more. As you sit around Jesus, as you allow him to reveal to you what is going on in your heart, the deep, dark secrets of your heart, your passions, your desires, your hopes, your fears, your ambitions, as you allow him to reveal that to you, he will give you more. You know what that means? It really means life is going to become more uncomfortable because you're going to see things in your heart that you never thought existed because you could never admit it to yourself. But I've come to shed light on that. That's what I've come to do. That's a really weird invitation. Please come to Jesus because he's going to show you that you are worse than what you think you are. That's what Jesus is inviting you to. Do you hear how bad, in a one sense, you are? How much you need my light? Come to me. I want to expose you more and more so that you may have life. That's what I've come to do now. I'm now helping you to see a little bit of that really piercing light that is going to come. Now I'm giving you an opportunity. So listen carefully. Weigh what I say very carefully. Allow it, therefore, to do its work in you. Don't be too quick to reject it. Don't be too quick to accept it. Let it germinate in one sense. That's what I'm calling you to do. For you will be given more. And, well, if you don't, whoever does not have, whoever's not responding, whoever's not coming to me, even what they think they have, they will lose. Again, it's a general statement in life. If you have a muscle and you use it, it becomes strong and healthy. If you have a muscle and you don't use it, it atrophies and it falls apart. It's the same principle again. He's saying exactly the same thing. I'm encouraging you, come. So he's really driving this thing because he's aware that this is our problem. We do not want to hear and sit and reflect and think and weigh it. How heavy is what he's saying? How good is it? Are you aware of the things that's going on inside of you as you hear Jesus Christ saying, I have come to give you a bit of light before that light shines? Come to me. Come to me. Listen. Retain what I've said to you. So there's the first thing that he said. You hear and retain. Takes effort, isn't it? Perseverance. Allowing the things inside me to become clear so that I may go to him. Because ultimately that's where he's going. He's going to the cross where he'll pay for all of that. But now he's simply revealing. So that's what you can expect from Jesus. What you can expect from Jesus is that he's not going to say to you, you're okay. He's going to say to you, you are actually worse than what you think you are. But I've come so that you may know and see that, so that I may set you free. Come. So doesn't that free you up here this morning? You don't have to pretend. You are worse than what you think you are. And you are a bunch of people that know that they are worse than what you think I am. Weird. Would be interesting to think who you think I am. I can guarantee you I'm worse than that. I understand some parts of my heart is so vile and broken that there's only one person who can help me with that, and that is Jesus Christ. I want to hide it. I don't want to tell you guys. I'm ashamed of things that go through my mind, my spirit, my ambitions, my desires. Jesus, come to me. Listen, weigh it. Because I've come to set you free. That's where I'm going. And that's really the next point where he highlights the whole idea of persevering unto producing a crop, or perseverance unto bringing the full harvest at the end. Here Jesus is changing everything upside down. He's kind of rude, isn't he, with his family. Jesus does love his family. We know that for sure. But he does put it into its proper perspective. He does at the end of his life. Remember when his mom is there at the cross, he says to John, here's your mom, now look after her. So he's looking after his mom as the oldest brother. He passes it on to someone else. But it's funny, he passes it on to John, not to one of his own actual brothers, because at that stage it didn't seem like they were Christians yet. So he passes his mom on to John, the disciple whom he loved. But here he's basically saying, listen here, there's a new family that comes about, a family that is so concerned with the truth that they are gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are the ones who allow what he says to shape them unto the point of obedience. So have a quick look at what he says. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Some told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers." Now, here's the way the translation is. It's not wrong. It's just it misses slightly the emphasis. We translate it as those. It should be translated as these who hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus is saying, my family are these that sit at my feet and listen to me speaking the word of God that will ultimately bring about obedience. He's not talking about the principle. He's talking about the reality. He's not saying that because the Pharisees believed they were listening to the word of God and putting it into practice. As a principle, he's not talking about a principle. He's talking about the reality that they are sitting right at these. He's looking at them. These sitting here listening to me speaking the word of God to the end where they will obey. Where they'll come to me. Well, they'll make sure that's what they do. What they practice in one sense is they come to me so that I may expose them, so that they may obey me, so that I will set the agenda for their life. That is the new family in the kingdom of God. I mean, it's quite shocking just in general, but in that culture it was even worse. I mean, most of us have our homes and the kids watch their TV and you watch your TV and I watch my Netflix and you know, I'm on my cell phone and we're kind of disjointed and we don't really make decisions together. Those families were very tight. And so for Jesus to say to them, you are not my family unless you sit at my feet and listen to the word of God so that you may obey what I'm saying. I mean, that, you know, it's very difficult to get civil rivalry in the home sorted out sometimes. But for one of the family members to worship a brother as God, that's a bit of a different story altogether. And that is what he's claiming. The family of God are those who actually have this habit. They come and they sit at my feet and they listen to what I'm saying so that they may put it into practice. So here's the interesting thing. As those of us who've heard this so many times, he's saying it's not good enough just to hear. It is vital to hear. You have to keep on listening. Listen, 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 listen. Retain it. But do not tell yourself it's okay because I've heard. Retain it so that you may obey it. See, the new life is not happy just to know the truth. The new life is happy to become the truth. That is in Jesus Christ. It does not stop before it actually has obeyed what it knows. That's one of the great dangers, isn't it? That we can hear it. I mean, there are people hearing Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, well, not everybody who hears me actually is there. Some will fall away when it gets tough. Some will actually just get choked out of it. Some will actually produce it. But here's the interesting thing. Those who hear, where do you stop? That I've heard it, that I know it, that I can give the verse, or do I go on to obeying it? That's what Jesus is after. The real wonder of the truth is that it sets you free from all the things inside you as you get to know it, so that you may actually start to obey it. So that you may become it, I take it, ultimately. Jesus is the foundation, but that's what he's inviting you to. When I read this, I don't know how you feel. I feel really I need Jesus more, not less. Because you know what the problem is when you're like me? This is your job to read the Bible. I know far more than what I obey. By a country mile. And Jesus says, that is not good enough. Will you persevere in listening, retaining, so that by persevering you may produce a crop at the end? Is that what you're busy with? Those are the ones that will actually stand. So we've got an incredibly important thing to do for ourselves, isn't it? We've got to do their homework. Where's my heart? Where's my mind? What a priority is it for me to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak? And is it enough for me to know that he's spoken? Do I actually push on towards obedience? That's the one side of the coin always. Always first ourselves. Secondly, how do I help other people as they talk about what it is to be part of the kingdom of God? Is that my same concern, that they too will work through, allow this word to retain, to sit there, to expose them so that they may turn to Christ unto obedience, unto production of fruit? See how amazing this is? It's an incredible job, isn't it? Because it's so dangerous to say, well, I've heard it. And Jesus, no, no. Hearing is vital, but not good enough. It is as you retain it and persevere and believe it, I take it ultimately, that you will produce a crop. Jesus Christ says, I have come to shine a little light. Now, come to that light. In that light, you will see yourself. Come and mirror yourself in me. Because what you will find is that it is really scary what is going on inside you. Ultimately, I've come to save you from that. But unless you realize that, you won't come. So here, at this point, he's not telling us the whole story. The whole story is still moving on. He's going to die. He's going to tell us that the only way you can be saved from this problem is not knowing it, neither confessing it, but me dying for it. He's not there yet, but he's just simply saying, why are you coming? What is in your heart? What drives you? Is it the truth? Is it the light that you see in me? When you see me, you see the King of God's kingdom. How do you measure yourself in my light? Come, weigh it, and you'll get more. There's the great invitation. If you're not, you will lose it ultimately in the end. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is so unbelievably kind and good. Thank you that he's come into this world before the great judgment day. That day when every single hidden thought and ambition and desire will be revealed and it will not be able to be concealed. Thank you that we can now come to him. Lord, we realize that there are darknesses and issues inside of ourselves that we are not even aware of. We thank you that you are not terrified by that, but you want us to have it exposed so that we may receive your grace and your truth. Thank you that you are the light of the world. You are the light of every human being. You are the light that gives light to every human heart. Thank you this morning again for reminding us of the things we actually know, Lord. You alone are able to show us what it is like to live in the presence of God. Your kingdom, your agenda. Your agenda now is to bring about exposure of every individual heart by itself coming to you. Lord, we can't force one another, we can't shame one another, we can't frighten one another into coming to you. We can only point to you as you have pointed to yourself. Come to me, for I am the one who can reveal to you the things that you don't want revealed and that you're scared about. And I've come to sort that out. So Lord, we thank you for this incredible invitation in the midst of an enormous warning that there are many who will not stand in the judgment day. Many who have heard, but have not retained and persevered. Lord, we pray that we may hear this. We may allow this to weigh heavy enough in us so that it will actually do something to us. It will make us run to you, to sit at your feet, and to ask you to slowly but steadily reveal ourselves to ourselves so that you may set us free. What an incredible, kind God you are. Thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we are still alive today so that we can hear this and wrestle with this and take this message out into the world. Into every single human being needs to see themselves in your light. Give us courage. Give us conviction. Give us joy. Give us humility to go and sit with people and to say, you know what? There are really dark things in my life. And Jesus Christ has come to expose it so that I may bring it to him so that he may forgive it and heal it. And he has come to do that for every single one. Hear him. Hear his invitation. Hear his warning. Hear his grace. Hear his truth. Oh Lord, we bow before you in great thankfulness. Please help us to weigh this. to give it its proper weight in our walk. And we pray this in your name. Amen.